Okay, so let's look at the Word of God. And if we can turn to Luke chapter 1. We'll read that in just a moment. Sometimes when I read Scripture and I look around the Christian world, I kind of let my mind wander, and think about people that God used in the Bible and even today. Think about the people that God seems to use in a certain way. And the fact of the matter is, God uses people. He tends not to use organisations or movements. They're there for a purpose. And we've only got to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Well, I'll call it God's Hall of Fame. You've got a list of names there that God used. And they're all people. And lots of them did great things for God. They were used by God. But when you read through that list, you realise that they were flawed people. They weren't perfect people by any means. They had problems. They did wrong things. People just like us, really, who are flawed. We're not perfect. But God used them. So this morning I want to look at, we'll look at it in a moment, but a character, because I believe God wants to use ordinary people. And we can look at some of these people, kind of the Moses and the Davids and the Abrahams and the Gideons, and they did mighty things for God, but they were just people, not perfect people, people with flaws in their lives, in their lifestyle. I say people just like us. As I say, God doesn't use systems or organisations as such. He uses people just like us. I've noticed over the years when there's been a move of God, and then people try and, I guess in their nature, try and organise it, and something of the touch of God goes out of it when we try and organise it too much, try and put it in a box. And God is always looking for people that he can use. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says these words, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." People whose hearts are fully committed to him. John 4, verse 23 says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks." See, God isn't looking necessarily for worship. He's not necessarily looking for worship bands. He's looking for worshippers. He's looking for people. I've got nothing wrong with worship. I enjoy Christian music. I enjoy worship. But he's actually looking for people. And he's looking for people that he can use. And I guarantee, even in a congregation of this size, when I say God is looking to use you, whoever you are, I really believe that. Whoever you are, God is looking to use you. I have no doubt in my mind. And for some of you, your immediate thought is, God could never use me. Or, God could never use me again. Because of perhaps things we've done, things we've thought, things we've said, actions, reactions, whatever it may be. And you're saying, God can never use me again. I've got a friend, a dear Christian friend, one of my closest friends, struggling spiritually at the moment. And he often talks to me and says, "I don't think God will forgive me. I don't really think God use me again. And he's struggling. And I say, yes, you will. You know, in the Bible when it says, you know, how many times do we forgive? You know, 7 times? No, 77 times. I said, that's not, even if you sin 78 times, God will still forgive you. It's just a picture. But God will continue to forgive. So if you're saying this morning, God could never use me, God could never use me again, I've got 2 words for you. You're wrong. You're wrong. Dead wrong. I believe God is always looking to use people. He wants to use you. And I want to look at somebody this morning who is just ordinary. Look at some principles of her life. It's a woman, a female, that may help us to be used by God again. And age is no barrier to this. Can I say that? Age is no barrier to this. A year or so ago, God spoke to me about that. I might have preached it here, I can't remember now. From Acts chapter 2, when it talks about God pouring out his spirit. And it says, young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. And God spoke to my heart. Old men will dream dreams. Old men or women will dream dreams. When the Holy Spirit touches your life, you'll dream dreams again. Whoever you are. 70 this year. I know you won't believe that, but I'm 70 this year. And God has put some dreams in my heart over the past year. Some of them have come to fruition. Others, I'm just waiting. With the word of God, I don't know. I'm just waiting for God. But God has worked things out and will do. So the person I want to talk about this morning is Mary, the mother of Jesus. You say, she wasn't ordinary. Well, there's a lot of misconceptions about Mary in the Bible. Not once does it say we're to worship her. Not once does it say she was perfect or sinless. Not once does it say she was on par or part of the Godhead. It doesn't say we're to venerate her, which means to adulate, idolize, exalt, honor, hold sacred, pay homage to, or anything like that. Doesn't say that in the Bible. In fact, what's special, I would say, about Mary is her ordinariness. And God took this ordinary young lady and used her. You see, God chose Mary. It wasn't because of her education, because tradition says she didn't have any. It wasn't because of her wealth, because it appears that she was fairly poor. It wasn't because she was mature, because she was probably only a teenager. We will see that God chose Mary because she trusted God to use her. I guess Mary had all kinds of fears, and we read some of it in Scripture, but she never let her fears control her. So let's turn to Luke chapter 1. We'll start reading from verse 26. What time do we finish, David? Be honest. I've lost track. Eh? Huh? Half 12, right. I'll finish before then. Rest assured. I normally bank on about half an hour, 40 minutes, if that's okay with you. Verse 26. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." And people say, ah, Mary was highly favoured. That's why she was special. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, today we are all living in God's favour. Today is the day of God's favour. So we're all favoured people. Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, I think. When people ask me that, I always fear that I've written it down wrong. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Moses answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fill his promises to her." It then goes on to another portion of scripture we call Mary's songs, where she's worshipping God. And we'll perhaps come back to that later. Notice that the angel said to her in Luke chapter 1, it says, "God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to the virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. He explained what was going to happen, and Mary's reaction was shock. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words, confused and disturbed, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I guess Mary tried to think what the angel really meant, because the Greek word for greatly troubled means petrified or scared to death. I guess if you had an angel turn up at your door and announce something, I think I would be a bit perturbed. But you know, perhaps I would be a bit fearful. But Mary didn't let her fears control her. When the angel said, "You're going to be the mother of Jesus Christ," I'm sure all kinds of fears came up. And sometimes when God speaks into our hearts and into our lives and challenges us and calls us and challenges us, say, "I want you to be this, I want you to do this," we can get fearful as well. Just to allow... go back these 2,000 years, just to allow your mind to wander what Mary may have thought or feared. Probably, I would guess, the fear of criticism. What's everybody going to think? I'm a virgin, I'm a teenager, I'm not married, and I'm having a baby. Will my fiancé leave me because of it? What about my parents? What will they think? Probably the fear of the supernatural. You've got to remember, this is an angel. This is not her pastor knocking at her door or for a friend. What will happen if I allow the Holy Spirit to grow something inside of me? What will be the outcome? What will be the outcome if I give my life totally to God? What will happen? And we can be like that when God prompts us by his Holy Spirit and challenges us to do something or to be something. We can get fearful. Some of us today, and I go to churches, and they almost have a fear of the Holy Spirit. What will happen? The Holy Spirit comes in and messes things up. We've got this organised. you know, we've got this vision, we've got this, it's all nicely boxed up. And the Holy Spirit comes in and kind of messes it up a bit. Think of the day of Pentecost, what happened there? It says, you know, they thought they were all drunk, God messed things up. And I guarantee, when the Holy Spirit comes and touches your life, say it'll mess your life up, but it'll disturb it. Because all real creatures of habit, and God can come in and just blow things apart. Probably, Mary had a fear of inadequacy. How can I handle this? Have I got the faith for this? Can I carry this responsibility? I don't. Am I good enough? I'm not as good as him or her. They're far better than me, far more spiritual than me, far more theology in their heads than me. Goes through our minds, goes through my minds at times. You know, when God felt God speaking to me about, as Dave mentioned earlier, and being kind of a pastor to the pastors. And I thought, how can I do that? I go to churches and they seem to have it all together. Certainly they seem more spiritual than I am. A lot more theology in their little finger than I've got. But God changed me. And unbelievable how doors have opened. Perhaps she had a fear of change. You know, if this goes ahead, my life is going to change radically. How will I cope with the change in my life? You know, she may have all her plans sorted out, and sometimes as Christians we do. We've got our own plans sorted out. She probably thought to herself, well, I'm going to get married to Joseph. We've got this little two up, two down near the coast. It's in the best catchment area for the best schools in the area. And we can have our kind of 2 weeks holiday a year and all this. You might have had it all sorted out. Then God comes in and it changes. You see, we can look at those and they're, I'm not sure whether they're true or not, but you can see when something begins to happen, we can get all those fears and we can be the same. Because I say, we're often creatures of habit. We don't like being disturbed. But I guarantee, and we'll come on to it hopefully a little later, when God moves in our lives and God wants to use us, things have to change. So what's the antidote to all those fears? All those reservations that we have? I think there's three things we can learn from Mary's life that will be an antidote to those. The three things are these. God uses people who desire to do his will. God uses people who decide to pay the cost. And there's always a cost with following Christ. And God uses people who dare to trust his promises. And I believe if we build those three things into our lives, God will use us. Or it will enable God to use us. Say, an age is no barrier. I guarantee that. They'll say, I'm 70 in a few weeks' time, and God is still leading us into new things. So firstly, God uses people who desire to do his will. I believe to be used by God, that's our desire. We must desire to do his will more than anything else. We've got to say, God, I want your plan for my life. One of the first things in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus told his disciples to pray, one of the first requests, or it's the first requests, he says, Father, you should pray, I want your will to be done here on earth. That's where any of our requests should start with God. Not bless what I've got planned, not bless what I think, not plan, bless kind of my life as it is, but your will to be done. You see, we don't want good ideas. We want God's ideas. God's plan for our life. But you know, God's plan for our lives isn't automatic. We could miss it. We must choose to cooperate with God, or we could miss it. And I believe God will begin to use people who pray that prayer and mean it, saying, God, I want you first in my life. I want to be what you made me to be. In his first sermon, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, didn't God say, seek first his kingdom? First thing you seek is God's kingdom. And what is God's kingdom? Where God has ruled and reigned. Same thing. God will use people who desire to do his will. Why did God choose Mary? I think we'll see in a moment, because that was her response. God tells Mary, I'm going to use you to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And what was Mary's response? I am the Lord's servant. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And in Mary's song we read, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And when God spoke to Mary, Mary didn't say, can you find somebody else? Here am I, send somebody else. She didn't say, I've got a career to think about. I've got my plans. I've got my ambitions. I've got my dreams. You know, Lord, this isn't really convenient for my plans at the moment. I've got to think of what's best for me. Mary didn't decline God's will. She said, may your word to me be fulfilled. She didn't reject it. She was willing. She desired God's will in her life more than anything else. And it was a tremendous attitude that she had. We just see in these few verses the attitude that Mary had to God's will for her life. And that's where it starts. If God wants to use you, it has to start there. It's finding out what God wants you to be and wants you to do. And when the angel spoke to her, what was Mary's response? It was enthusiasm. She said, my soul praises the Lord, my heart rejoices. It wasn't, well, if that's what you called me to, Lord, I'll grin and bear it and I'll get on with it, but it's not really me. If you're going to use me, let's get it over with. It was my soul praises, my heart rejoices. She wasn't just tolerating the will of God, she was eager. You see, nothing's ever done without enthusiasm. Actually, the word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, which is on, en, and theos, in God. In God. That's enthusiasm. When you get into God, you'll be enthusiastic. She was humble as well. Verse 48 says, thank you for thinking of your humble servant girl. See, Mary was wanted to do the will of God, but she was humble that God had chosen her. Sometimes I see God using people and I get a bit proud. God using me. And they get proud. But she wasn't like that. She was humble. She didn't say to God, well, I'm glad you got round to choosing me, God. You know, I'm the real deal. I'll perform. She says, no, just I'm a humble servant girl. And the point is this, none of us deserve to be used by God. We're all trophies of his grace. And we should be thankful that God wants to use us. We don't deserve it. But God wants to use us. And she was willing. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. a willingness for God to prevail. See, God uses people who desire to do his will. So it's not automatic and we can miss it. But I want to say to you this morning, the first point is, if you want to be used by God, say to him, I desire your will for my life. David said it in Psalm 40, he said, I desire to do your will, O God. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians, so we make it our goal to please him. And our only goal is to please God. So I want to encourage you to seek God's will for your life. Mary had a desire to do his will. Secondly, God uses people who decide to pay the cost. And I say this morning, there's always a cost in following God's plan for your life. It's going to cost you. And you may have to give up some stuff. And that's why some of us are fearful of doing that. She decided that God's will was the most important thing. The Living Bible, verse 38, says these words, I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to do whatever he wants. May everything you say come true. Whatever. Whatever you want, Lord. That means everything. Whatever God wants, are we willing to pay the cost? Are we willing to pay the price? Can you just think back to 2,000 years ago when you think about the cost? We mentioned some of it earlier on. What it was going to cost to become, for Mary to become the mother of Jesus. Her reputation. She was a virgin, but she was pregnant. How are you going to explain to that to people? So she gave up her reputation. Jesus was 30 years old before he started doing miracles. So she had to work 30 years for what she was saying to be proved true. Are we going to buy that line today? I mean, it won't happen again, I know that. But she probably thought, am I going to lose the man I love over this? Did people think she was crazy? People probably felt sorry for her mum and dad. Probably thought it was just a far-fetched excuse. She gave up her reputation. Sometimes when you're following the will of God, you have to give up your reputation in other people's eyes. See, there are always going to be people who misunderstand you. There will be people who misjudge you. And there will be people who criticize you when you do the will of God. You can count on it. But Mary sacrificed her reputation. It cost her a comfort as well. The Bible says Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem, as we all know that. And she's in Nazareth. She had to travel. I don't know how many miles it was, but quite a way, 9 months pregnant on the back of a donkey. How would you like to be a young teenage peasant girl having your first child in a foreign city, in a cold barn with no family around? It wasn't easy. Then the baby's born and you hear the king wants to kill him. So you have to go off to a foreign land, to Egypt. It wasn't kind of 2 weeks, an five-star hotel, by the Red Sea. It wasn't easy. See, Jesus is upfront about the cost if you want to follow him. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. You know, there wasn't care for the family around in those days, or James Dobson or anybody like that. She had to. She was prepared to pay the cost. I wonder if we're willing to pay the price to be the people that God wants us to be. God may ask us to give up some relationships, some friendships, some interests that may be pulling you down or pulling you back. He may be asking you to set aside your dreams, your ambitions, your goals, your plans, your finances, for what he wants you to do. Are we willing to do that, to be used by God? And thirdly, God uses people who dare to trust his promises. Sometimes it takes courage to be used by God. You know, courage doesn't mean you're not afraid. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving ahead in spite of your fear. Another word for courage is really faith. Mary, I sense, was a woman of deep faith. She didn't have all the answers, but she did trust God. Mary was a woman who wasn't afraid of the supernatural. She wasn't afraid of miracles. And God will use people like that. See, some of us might say, why doesn't God ever do a miracle in our life? Sometimes it's because we're afraid he will. Because if God does a miracle and changes things in our lives, it means our lives change. And we don't want him to change. Might be like, well, I will lose control. And that's a scary thought for some. So we play it safe spiritually. Sometimes we don't see miracles because we don't really expect God to do it. And I was thinking about this, and I challenged myself. I thought, it's only a small thing. When was the last time I waited to buy something and just prayed about it and allowed God to give it to me? Very often I don't do that. I just go out and buy it or pay for it. Sometimes we don't see miracles because we don't let God do it. You see, Mary had every reason to be worried. She had this great responsibility. But instead of worry, Mary worshipped. Instead of panicking at the unknown, she praised and praised God, prayed to God. So I say to you, if God wants to use you, don't worry, just worship. Worship him. Don't panic, but pray and praise. See, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Mary's cousin, I believe, understood the third reason that God chose Mary. Because she said, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. Elizabeth is saying, you believed that God would do what he said. And that's why he has given you this wonderful blessing. You see, when you look back at these characters 2,000 years ago, and we can learn from them. I said right at the beginning, I believe God wants to use everybody. We're all part of a body. That's what the scripture tells us. And each part has a work to do. But each part is different. But we all need, in a body, all parts of the body. I was talking to somebody earlier saying, when you get a bit older, things seem to stop working or wear out or whatever. That's another side of things. But in a body, for the body to function properly, everything has to work. And this morning here, you are part of this body. And God wants.
times up to God. You say, God, use me.
God uses people who desire his will. That's where we start. God uses people who are prepared to pay the cost or prepared to pay the price. And I don't want to major on this, but in following Christ, there'll always be a price to pay. But I'll tell you now, it's worth it. And God will use people who dare to trust him in their walk with him. God will do it, and God wants to do it. It's whether our response is right. And when we look at the life of Mary, you can see that she desired to do his will. She was prepared to pay the cost, and she trusted in him. And God used her in a miraculous way, in a great way. She was just an ordinary person. And even now, you may be saying, but it's all right for you to say that, but you don't know the real me. You don't know my circumstances. You don't know what I'm really like. But let me say this. If God can take a teenage girl, a poor peasant teenager, with no education, no real ability, and choose her to be the mother of Jesus Christ, any of our excuses are pretty puny for not letting God have your life and using you. And it's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Are we going to allow God to use us? There's some framework there to work through if we want God to use us. But if we're willing, I honestly believe God will use you. I have no doubt. There's a song that really encapsulates what I'm saying this morning. It's an old Hillsong song, and I'll just read you the words. And it's these words. This is my desire to honour you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. You know, that's not just a song. It's a prayer. And if we're prepared to pray prayers like that and mean them, then God, I believe, will use us. Whether we're male, whether we're female, whether we're young, whether we're old, middle-aged, whatever it may be, God will use you and wants to use you in his kingdom and for his glory. Amen. 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 Let's just pray, shall we? Father, our loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. And we come to you, Lord, as our Father. And Lord, as we just open up your word just a small bit this morning to see one of your children, how you chose them, how you used them, how you prepared them. Lord, we know that's your desire for each one of your children, Lord. Because we know we're all part of your body. And we all have a function to play. And Lord, we all should fulfill that function and be used by you, in a sense, to the fullest extent, to see your body and your church operate in the way that you want it to operate. And so I ask this morning, Lord, as we just, for a short time, just opened up your word and attempted to understand what you say and what you're saying through it. Father, I just pray for this church that, and for the folk here, Lord, the people here, Lord, that some of what I've said this morning, we just find a resting place in their hearts and in their lives. Not, Lord, so they understand it, but so, Lord, they can apply it to their lives as they grow and move on in you. So, Lord, I commit these folks to you this morning, and I pray that over the next days, weeks, months, Lord, there will be a movement in lives where you're beginning to use people in the way that you want to use them. And people will become the people that you want them to be and to do the things that you plan them to do. So, Lord, I commit them to you and just pray your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.